Wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, of course, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And this is our first episode of 2024. And we'll talk a little bit about the winter break there. But before we get into that, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, before episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. You can also head on over to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/gotellittothewall or @gotellittothewall. Either one of those will take you right to our channel there on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and check back often for all of our new video content that gets posted up there. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, SoCalSean, @SoCalSean. Still got a ton of content in the hopper that's going to be going up on there over the next couple weeks. It's just one of those time constraint things and working on it vigorously as much as the free time I have, I guess you could say, which is few and far between. And then, of course, don't forget to bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That is your one-stop shop for anything and everything pertaining to me. Go Tell It to the Wall, Common Sense Sundays, Go Tell It to the Brewery, all that good stuff. And you're also going to find exclusive content that you will not find on any of those social platforms. And you will also find a couple of links that you might be interested in checking out. One of those would be our Patreon campaign. If you want to support the show financially, Patreon is a great way to do that. Become a patron. Help us out. Even if it's a dollar, every little bit helps. And if you don't want to get involved with Patreon but still want to support us financially, you can do so by picking up some Common Sense merch on the merch website. Both of those link directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. They're going to take you to other websites, but those are websites that we manage and maintain. It's just that the merch website's a separate thing, and then of course Patreon is its own website. And if you have never heard of Patreon, I encourage you to check it out. Even if you're not going to throw us a couple dollars, there's probably some people on there that you'd want to support financially and check out and find new content even. So make sure you're doing that regardless of if you're going to support us here at Go Tell It to the Wall. All right, like I said, first episode of 2024. That's right, we are back from our long winter break. Actually, kind of wanted to be back a week ago, but just it's time constraints. I would say I feel rested and recuperated and everything, but we all know that's not the case. I need a break from my winter break, which kept me very busy between holiday stuff, family stuff, New Year stuff, kids stuff, parenting stuff, and of course, a lot of my other work ramped back up at the very beginning of the year, including shows. Shows have, like, I feel like they ramped up much quicker this year than in previous years, and it's just, like, already I've got like 5, 6, 7 shows completed for 2024, and we're only like 3 weeks into it. It's kind of wild to think compared to previous years. Although I feel like maybe last year it started ramping up earlier. Everyone's clamoring to get tours out and get shows out. There's a lot of albums coming out this year, so I didn't get a ton of rest, but I did have a good time. And I hope all of you had a good time with your winter break, whether it was a day, whether it was a week, whether it was like 3 weeks, whatever it might have been. Hopefully that was enjoyable and possibly restful for you. We all know, like I say, winter break, but, you know, if you're celebrating the holidays and you got family running, it's always madness, and it's not even much of a break, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast. You know, it's the old saying, like I said, I need a break from my winter break, and it's like, I need a vacation after my vacation. That's just kind of how it is. All right, now that we're through all that, let's get into some digital trends. All right, this one had me ranting and raving a bit, I would say, like a week or two ago. So Dwayne Wade, who is a retired NBA player, I believe they were retiring his number. For those of you not familiar, it's something they do with professional sports. A team will retire a person's number. They'll hang it up in the rafters or hang it somewhere in the stadium, whatever it might be. So he was out there in Miami doing that. He's a very prolific retired player who played for the Miami Heat. And people had taken pictures and noticed that his nails were painted. And so, of course, one specific person who is a football player, NFL football player named Cole Beasley, decided to come out and tweet, like, what is this? How can men have painted nails and everything else? And this was one that I appreciated. Now, there were people on both sides. There were like, yeah, that's not manly, blah, 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 you know, all that stupid shit. But then there was a lot of people that were like, who cares? He's painting his nails. And the other thing, and people brought up interesting things, like, so Cole Beasley has tattoos, and somebody was like, it's just like having a tattoo, you're expressing something. And he even came back and was like, that's not the same thing. It's like, buddy, it is. And yet again, here we have a situation where his painted nails are not affecting anybody else. What? Why are we so obsessed with other people's appearances, and especially when it comes to masculinity? It's like, well, that's not manly. It's like, who? Why not? Why is it not manly? Because you're insecure with your appearance, that it makes you uncomfortable somehow? I never understand these things. But of course, that went viral, and everyone was talking about that. Like I said, there were people supporting the side of Cole Beasley. However, a lot of people were men were sharing their own painted nails. I don't often paint my nails, but I have. And I have lots of friends that do, of all ages. There's nothing wrong with painting your nails, for the love of God. And again, most important thing here, wall fans, what do we always say? It does not affect you. Nobody's forcing you to paint your nails. You don't like painted nails, don't paint your nails. But don't criticize someone else for having their own form of self-expression because they like to do that. It always blows my mind that this again and again this comes up. All right, moving along. TikTok and YouTube pranks. I know we talk about these a lot, and I feel like they ramp up. It's kind of like a roller coaster throughout the year, and I've noticed them ramping up quite a bit over the past month, few weeks, or you know what have you. It's like that flood of videos that comes in, and you can and what I have noticed is people are getting more and more tired of it. You know, we talked a long time ago about the poor woman who had a seizure because there's that put a bucket on someone's head prank and all this other stuff, and then there was the guy that shot people, where it's like, that is an extreme response to someone trying to prank you in public. However, I'm not that upset because they were getting in your face. I'm seeing a flood of these, but most recently, because you've probably seen these escalator little pranks where someone's going up and people are coming down, they reach over and they touch them or they say something. Well, in this case, somebody tried to do that, and the guy that was going up the elevator, as somebody was coming down trying to prank him, literally reaches literally pulls him over to the other side of the escalator and starts beating the hell out of him. Again, I'm not condoning violence in these situations. That is probably an extreme response. However, I am not going to criticize it that much because we're all tired of these fucking pranks. It's old, it's tired, it's not entertaining in the least bit. So just knock it off. If you know somebody that does that, tell them to knock it off. If you're somebody that does that, you're probably not listening to this podcast because I've been criticizing you for years now. But it's not worth the clicks. It's simply not. And it's not original. You know, you're essentially harassing people in public and recording it. And we're dealing, like I said, with a flood of it coming through all the social media right now. Speaking of ridiculousness on social media, a couple weeks ago, we had a woman go viral. She decided to do body paint and then go to work out at the gym. For those of you not familiar with body paint, you're essentially naked. And granted, I believe in most cases, when it comes to women doing this, they have some kind of, you know, like bikini bottom underwear type thing, and then everything else is painted. She had like fake jeans painted on. She had her whole top, like some kind of sports bra painted on or whatever it was. That's not exactly the point. The point is, she went out to work out in the gym. A guy called her out on it, and she was recording, and she decided that she was being harassed for how she was dressing at the gym. Now, for those of you that have never been to the gym, there is certain gym etiquette. You know, first of all, it used to be, before everyone decided they were going to record themselves working out in a public gym, you didn't even bust out a camera or your phone at the gym. There's no recording, and definitely still not in the locker room. But there's a certain agreement, a certain etiquette that to actually wearing gym clothes. Now, yes, we could sit here and argue yoga pants, and you always see guys complaining, I can't work out because there's women in yoga. It's like, no, you can wear tight clothing. However, you should not be sitting on shared gym equipment when you are essentially naked. So she goes to Twitter and posts this, and probably posted it in TikTok, wherever the hell else these influencers post things. I put that in finger quotes as always. And she said, I'm being harassed. And she really thought people were going to come and defend her. Now, unlike the Cole Beasley situation where some people were defending him, literally nobody was defending her and said, you are absolutely ridiculous, called her out for her ridiculousness. Because, again, gym etiquette, we're not going to go into the gym, a shared space, naked. you know? And then on top of that, like I said, we got to just stop the recording in the gym. You want to record your own workouts? Do it at home. Or maybe go when it's not a crowded gym, because there's the other videos where you see people complaining, oh, you're in my shot. I'm recording myself doing a workout and you're in my shot. Well, you know what, fucker? I paid the same amount for this gym membership as you did. Now, you don't have the right to get into somebody's space, but you have every right to be in the background of somebody that's working out in a different area. This all kind of goes into that same thing. These gym influencers and everything else, and I can't stand it. You know, I don't go to a gym, but there was a time I had two gym memberships at one time when I was in full training. You know, you see part of my triathlon gear up here from my very first triathlon. And I would never pull my phone out at the gym. Now, there were times where I was like waiting for an important call and I would kind of keep it in my pocket. And then if it starts ringing, I leave the gym floor and answer that phone. That's just etiquette. I'm not recording myself, you know, put the headphones in. You're focused on yourself. I would love to get back to that. But again, like I said, I no longer have any gym memberships just because I do my own working out here at home. As you can tell from my chiseled physique that I've had lately. No, I've been quite out of shape for a couple years now. I was one of those people that somehow lost a bunch of weight during COVID, and then COVID ended and I put it all back on. I was working out like crazy and eating a little better I don't have the time to work out. Now my workouts are really just going to shows, I guess you could say. All right, winter driving videos. Now, this is an every year thing, but I'm going to bring it up because we're in that prime time of year. And in fact, here in Los Angeles right now, we are getting excessive heavy rain. I looked outside. I got palm fronds flying around, the stupid seed pods from the jacaranda that's out in front of my house, stuff, and wet everywhere. I mean, today was one of those rare instances where I drove my kid to school. We live so close that it's easier to walk, but when it's pouring rain, you got to drive for drop off and then pick up. And this is one of those rare days. And here, the other fun thing is people in LA don't know how to drive in the rain. It's always astounding to me. I mean, we've kind of had rain on and off for a few days now. And Sunday I'm driving on the freeway and passed like three different accidents. And it's like clearly because of the rain. But of course, that's nothing compared to other areas of the country, really around the world, where they are now getting snow. And it is that time of year where blizzards are hitting. You're seeing snow in places on TV. And that's, of course, when these videos come out of people driving in the snow, which brings me to a couple points. I understand they can be funny and everything, but realize that people are actually dealing with this. And it's not fun. But another important thing, and I'm glad that I saw this becoming a little bit of a trend lately, is, you know, doing donuts. Now, and I've noticed this actually in my neighborhood. There's a couple of intersections and I'm walking. I'm like, who the hell is doing donuts in this residential intersection? You see the tire streaks. So I'm not condoning that. However, this is a thing that has come out saying, you know, if you see kids in a parking, like an empty parking lot in the snow doing donuts, it's not something to criticize. It's not something to like call the police, whatever it might be. Because actually what's happening is these kids doing this are learning how to control their vehicle in the snow. And I can tell you, in fact, when I was a teenager, I never actually lived in Chicago, but I spent a lot of time there. When I was a teenager and my cousin got a F-150 pickup truck and he was like, hey, let's go do some donuts in the park. And I was like, and you know, I had driven in the snow barely, like a little bit, but I didn't really grow up in it. So I'm like, what do you mean? And then my aunt, his mom goes, oh yeah, no, go do it. And that's, I learned then. And then I went out and I tried doing donuts in the snow so you could learn how to control in the snow. So between the winter driving videos and seeing kids out there, just keep in mind that sometimes that is beneficial to your driving skills. And then we're going to see less of these winter road crash videos, cars sliding down the. I mean, I don't mean to laugh because there's, you know, people are crashing, cars crash, cars slide into others. There's only so much you can do when it's icy out there. So please just be safe if you're dealing with this kind of inclement weather. The videos can be funny, but remember that somebody's having to pay for repairs on a car. Hopefully via insurance company, but we've all dealt with insurance companies at one time in our lives, and that's not fun. Even if insurance is paying for it, you got to jump through 50 hoops to get your car fixed. So stay safe out there. Let teenagers be as long as they're not hurting anyone else and no one else is around, and make sure you're being as vigilant as possible when you're driving in that snow. I mean, like I said, we get the rain here and people are driving crazy, and I've always been a very cautious rain driver. You know, I've grew up driving in the rain, because when I got my license was actually El Nino time here in Southern California, so it was just constant downpouring, and it's kind of baptism by fire, for lack of a better phrase there. All right, let's move along into some mental health for our first mental health segment of 2024. I don't want to get too deep on this one, but with it being the new year, I know we are a few weeks removed from the first of the year, but with this being our first episode of 2024, I want to talk about something that kind of comes up every year, and that's New Year's resolutions. Now, if you're someone that makes New Year's resolutions, I don't see any problem whatsoever with that. The other side of it, though, is a lot of times people feel pressured to have some kind of New Year's resolution. So it's important, especially in many ways, but especially from a mental health standpoint, to not be pressured by a calendar. Because here's the thing. Yes, New Year's resolution. The year has changed. In fact, I had to have some crazy plumbing repairs, which little side note here. My wife opens up the cabinet under our kitchen sink on Christmas Day. She goes, "That's a little wet down here." Opens it up and notices that we have some leaking from the kitchen sink pipes. And I got a house full of family and some friends over. And I said, "You just close that right now. We'll deal with that, you know, once we're done with Christmas." I do a full sink rebuild. And I, you know, so there is those funny things because I'm writing the check. And I'm like, "Oh, this is the first time I'm writing 2024, blah, blah." But anyway, so, you know, we get tangented here at Go Tell It to the Wall, regardless of it being the first episode of the year. So I understand that it is a new year. However, we shouldn't dictate our lives by a calendar. I mean, yes, if you have a doctor's appointment, you got to dictate. But it's arbitrary when it comes to making changes or whatever it might be. Because here's a secret, Wall fans, especially from a mental health standpoint. You can make changes at any time throughout the year. You can decide on a random Wednesday that you are going to try to better yourself, try to do things a little differently in your life, whatever it might be. So don't be pressured by the first of the year in New Year's resolutions. If you're not someone that wants to do New Year's resolutions, you don't have to. You don't have to come out and do it. And for the funny thing is, and speaking of gyms again, you know, when I was an avid gym goer and riding and running and all kinds of stuff, you know, years ago, we regular gym goers brace for January, but then you know there's an end in sight because everyone goes back to the gym in January. And then by the end of January, everyone's fallen off and they're like, "Oh, that's enough," you know, and then they're just having money charged to a credit card for a gym membership they're not using. And on top of that, it's okay to not succeed at first. I don't want to say resolutions are meant to be broken because that's not correct. However, don't get discouraged. And if you don't succeed at your first try, try again. That's okay. You know, even if you did make a New Year's resolution to work out more, to eat better, and suddenly second week of July, you're eating a block of cheese on the couch and watching other people do physical activity. That doesn't mean at the end of, you know, the next week, you can't go back to that. Everything takes time. I tell this to my kid. Like, it's just practice. That's really all it is. And you can create those new habits anytime, like I said. Doesn't have to be based on an arbitrary date. Do it on a random Wednesday. Start trying to better yourself. Or don't better yourself. If it's good for your mental health and you're not being detrimental to your physical health, whatever. You don't need to do those things. That pressure can actually be more detrimental than beneficial when it comes to your mental state and even your physical state. Because as we've talked about so often on this podcast, we know that there is a link between mental and physical health. One can affect the other and vice versa. The other thing to remember is everyone moves at a different pace. You know, we all have friends that are up at 5 in the morning, they're getting a workout in before they go to the office, whatever it might be. And if you're not one of those people, that's fine. Trust me, I am not a morning person. Even when I was racing triathlons, I would only get up in the morning, early in the morning for races. I did all my working out in the afternoon and in the evening. And everybody's a little different when it comes to that. Everyone moves at their own pace. So don't compare yourself to others, especially if it's somebody that's highly motivated. And I mean, trust me, I have a friend who is very involved in everything, school stuff, you know, activities and everything else. She's also a lawyer. And I'm like, I can't even imagine. I barely have enough time for what I do. But everyone's just different in that way. It doesn't make you lesser of a person, doesn't make you less smart, whatever it might be. So keep that in mind. And I always say, which is what I try to do, is set, and it may work for you, may not, and everyone is different. I set smaller goals throughout the year. And then you work to achieve each of those ones instead of, so let's say you had resolved to lose weight. Well, maybe instead of, you know, throwing away all your snacks and just going straight to, you know, health shakes and vegetables or whatever, maybe you remove the really sweet snacks. And then gradually you can get to that point, which also speaks to everyone moves at a different pace. But the most important thing, wall fans, common sensors, is you should never be sacrificing your mental health to reach those goals. Life is too short to constantly put yourself in a state of anxiety because you have unrealistic goals. So keep that stuff in mind. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's going to feel different. Everyone has different triggers when it comes to anxiety and depression and everything else. So it's best to kind of look at yourself and not look at others necessarily. Now, granted, you can get motivation from others, but as long as it's not making you feel bad and it's not increasing your anxiety, your mental illness, your mental health, your mental well-being, whatever it might be. So keep that in mind as we navigate 2024, because we all know 2024 is going to be a wild year, at least here in the United States. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we get to it, get into common sense. All right, moving along to some positive news. Other than this being the first episode of 2024, that's very positive news for everybody. I know everyone's very excited to be hearing my loud mouth in here yelling at a wall yet again. And to start off the new year, we got some new stickers on the wall that you might, if you're watching the video feed, you might see some of those new stickers from some new bands and new organizations and everything else. Which is funny, I just realized I'm recapping some shows and I'm reminded of a band I'm not talking about just by looking at the sticker in my my camera monitor here. But outside of that, today is actually a momentous anniversary. Today is what some people would call Clerks Day. But 30 years ago, it's the 30th anniversary, 30 years ago, the movie Clerks by Kevin Smith premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. And then if you're not familiar with Kevin Smith and Clerks, that spawned an entire cinematic universe. Now, a lot of movie snobs are going to argue, it's not a cinematic universe. It is. We literally call it the View Askewniverse. So regardless of if you like Kevin Smith, you got to respect the fact that he bet on himself. He dropped out of film school in Canada, maxed out his credit cards, and shot a movie that was literally just a still camera for every single shot in black and white. And it was released on this date in 1994. And the extra reason this is a positive news thing for me is I've always looked up to Kevin Smith, and you have to respect the fact that he bet on himself and then was able to go on to a very lucrative writing and directing career, a comedy career, a podcast career, all these things. But Clerks was the film that really inspired me to go to film school, because I am very much a character development and dialogue-driven film fan, and what the stuff I've worked on over my years. You know, obviously I've been in and out of film here and there, and television, but it really inspired me, and once I saw that Kevin Smith could do something like that, I said, you know what, I can go to film school and do something like that too. So it's a tip of the cap to you, Kevin Smith, good on you, and know that today we celebrate 30 years since one of my favorite all-time movies was made. And I know we have a lot of crossover with our podcast fans here. I've got a giant Jay from Jay and Silent Bob figure over here. It's not actually in the frame. It's just behind it. But it is a great day to remember the greatness that is Clerks and the greatness that is Kevin Smith. All right, let's move along to some parenting here. And for those of you who don't remember, we're messing around with some different segments and some show lengths and everything else. And, you know, so we're still at that point. So you might notice some episodes coming out at like 30 to 45 minutes. Some are still going to be an hour. It just depends kind of the content. But we're playing with it and seeing which ones do better numbers. So we don't have a ton of parenting this week. I kind of pared it down a little bit, but I do want to talk about a few things. As I mentioned on our holiday special, I literally bought a new car like the day before we recorded the holiday special. It's a larger vehicle with a third row. And my kid is absolutely obsessed with the third row. In fact, we've hit a point where we're going somewhere and she goes, "We taking daddy's car?" It's like, no. And she'll be super disappointed if we are taking taking the new car. She's extremely excited. But I'm sure some other parents out there that have a third row vehicle might be able to relate to this, but it's been a challenge with the third row seat, because not only does she love a new car, but she loves sitting in the way back. So she's no longer right behind the driver and passenger seat. She is much further back in the vehicle. So when it comes to buckling in, you know, I've got to climb to this third row seat, despite the fact that I'm not actually going to be sitting back there, and get her buckled in and make sure she's secure. Because like I always tell my kid, most important thing when we're getting in the car is making sure you are secure and safe before this vehicle moves at all. So that's one challenge. But I've also noticed over the past few weeks as we've been out and about doing activities and stuff, you cannot hear a child that is in the third row very well. In fact, there's a lot of like, speak up. And I don't know about other parents out there, but my kid, it's either very quiet, almost whisper, or loud as heck. And I have to be like, yo, there is an in-between. You can speak a little louder without screaming your head off. So these are challenges that that I'm experiencing with a third row vehicle. I'm sure other parents out there have experienced this as well. And the other one, and I said this from the beginning, before we even purchased the car, and she's like, I'm going to sit in the third row. You know, you've got to put the car seat back there. I said, okay, but you're not going to be able to get snacks. Like, what, you know, when they're right behind you, you can hand them snacks. I've done that for years with my child, but I can only imagine trying to chuck a bag of fruit snacks back there, or like a granola bar, all the way back to the back of the car. Now, I haven't had to deal with that yet, because I made my wife and daughter promise that we would not be eating or drinking in the car. And that's the thing, is I know it's going to get beat up, but it's a brand new vehicle in perfect condition. Like, nobody, not pre-owned, not brand new. And I said, just give me a few months of a very, very nice vehicle. And fortunately, my car actually came with the rubber floor mats, which, you know, I had the really nice, and it's because it's one of these like special, it doesn't matter, but it's one of these like special. It's got super fancy, excessive stuff. And we're not talking like, you know, these touring things where everything's automated, but nice floor mats, but it came with the rubber. And we had like two drives in it, and I said, nope, these rubber ones are going in. And sure enough, I mean, I did it a couple weeks ago, but has come in handy because, like I said, we're getting the rain here in Southern California like crazy over the past like 5 days or so. All right, moving along. The Bluey experience. This is actually something called Camp Bluey, and I believe it is touring the country. I don't know if it's going international, but this is something I had the privilege of taking my daughter, my wife and daughter, to see like the week after Christmas. Now, unfortunately, for those of you that live in Los Angeles, I had to go to the Century City Mall, which is usually not a great experience, but that's where it was happening here in Los Angeles. But it was immense fun because I use these fancy words because my wife works in that industry. It's an immersive experience where you walk in and you are literally in the Heeler house, the Bluey family house, and you're playing hide and seek. And there's all these cool little Easter eggs throughout the thing as you walk. And then there's like these counselors that are playing games with the kids. And they're obvious, for those of you familiar with Bluey, there's a lot of keepy uppy going on and that kind of stuff. And you're going in the kitchen and the dad's office and everything else. And it's all about hide and seek. You're trying to find Bluey and Bingo. And then spoiler alert, just in case, but you're going to assume this happens. You get to the end and you find Bluey and Bingo. They're obviously walk around characters of Bluey and Bingo, and you get a little photo opportunity and everything else. So if your kid is into Bluey, or if you were into Bluey, because trust me, I had just as much fun as, I mean, she probably had a little more fun than me, but I had a crazy, crazy amount of fun as well. Cause I love Bluey. In fact, I was talking to a friend over the weekend, who has an older kid, you know, and was like, I really wanted to go, but I didn't, like, I thought it'd be weird if it was like my wife and I and my older daughter just walking in there. I was like, dude, just go. There's got to be other people that have done that, you know. Like, I might have, if luckily my kid is of the age, but I might have been like, I got to go see Bluey myself. So check that out. If you're in LA, I think it is still going on here in Los Angeles, but like I said, I believe it is moving around the country. It is called Camp Bluey. They have a website, and you can go and check and see if it's coming to your city, and you can book tickets and all that kind of good stuff. Because you got to reserve tickets. You can't just show up and walk in. But it for what you get, the price is fantastic. And it wasn't, where I'm in Los Angeles, wasn't that hard to get a reservation. So I imagine in cities with a few less people, because this is a very large city, you might be able to get a reservation even easier. All right, kids and Stanley Cups. So we're going to talk about this a little more in common sense, but I want to talk about it from a kid parenting standpoint. So we've all seen these Stanley Cups. It's funny. I saw it start trending a few weeks ago on the social platforms. And when I first saw it, you see the trending topics and I was like, wow, we're talking about the Stanley Cup already. And it's, that doesn't happen till May and June. And of course, because I'm a hockey fan. And for those of you not familiar, the trophy for the National Hockey League is called the Stanley Cup. No, this is in fact these tumblers with straws that are from the company Stanley. And if you're not familiar with Stanley, this company's been around forever. They used to make the thermoses and the lunchboxes. They make some tools and everything else. But of course, there's this huge craze, which we're going to talk about. But the thing, when we get to common sense in just a moment. But I want to talk about real, before we get to that, from a parenting standpoint, there was a story that came out like a week ago where a kid went to school and apparently had a knockoff, in finger quotes, knockoff Stanley Cup. And then was promptly ridiculed by classmates and other kids at the school because they didn't have a real Stanley Cup. And first of all, there's nothing really special about these damn cups like we're going to talk about. But the important thing to remember here is teach your kids better. Just because another kid doesn't have an exact brand or the fanciest thing doesn't mean you can make fun of them. You don't know how much money they have at home. You don't know if there's a reason they don't have that particular item, whatever it might be. And it's crazy to me how water bottles have now become a status symbol. Like, Jesus Christ. I mean, we barely had water bottles when I was a kid and a teenager. I mean, we had those, like, the squeezy Gatorade ones for basketball and track and I think for football, too. I didn't really play much football. So you had those. But a lot of times, I carried around a gallon bottle of water at school. I probably would have, nowadays, I'd probably get made fun of like crazy. But I needed to drink a lot of water because I was constantly running for track and cross country and basketball and everything else. And I remember this happening last year at, like, an open house at school. And one of the teachers, I try not to do it, but we use the term Band-Aid. And it's like, that's actually a brand name. There's other disposable bandages out there. Q-tip. Like, no, they're cotton swabs. Q-tip is a brand. But Hydro Flask. Make sure your kid brings their Hydro Flask. And it's like, excuse me? My child does not have a $100 water bottle that they are bringing to school because they promptly would lose it. And also brings me to another story from my own experience. I often talk about my obsession with Vans. The fact that I have a very large collection of Vans. I can, to an extent, pinpoint kind of where that came from. And let me tell you a little story about young Sean in middle school, whose family didn't have a ton of money. We're fine. We're not starving or homeless or anything. Much, much more well off than a lot of families out there. But I also went to a private school with a lot of rich kids. Well, one day, I came to school with, like, some sneakers from Walmart. I had picked them out. I was very excited about them. In fact, I can tell you, I will never forget the brand name. They were Voight, V-O-I-T, which is like a brand that makes stuff. Voight. But of course, this is a bunch of rich kids running around, and they're all wearing their Air Jordans and Air Force Ones and the expensive Nike shoes and the expensive skate shoes. I promptly got made fun of at school because I didn't have the cool shoes and I wasn't wearing them to school. And looking back, that's probably part of why I have an obsession with cool Vans shoes. And in fact, I pretty much didn't wear those anymore. I at least didn't wear them to school. I somehow found an old pair of all white Vans Authentics, took a green and black Sharpie to them, and that became the shoes I'd wear to school after that, because at least those were acceptable to these kids that didn't know any better, obviously, or weren't taught any better to not make fun of a kid because they don't have the newest, coolest thing. So keep that in mind. If you got kids at home, if you have friends with kids, don't teach them to do better. Especially when it comes to a goddamn fucking cup. It's a cup. It holds liquid. I mean, make it cool yourself, For those of you on the video feed, this is not a Hydro Flask. Throw some stickers on the damn thing. Make it your own. I'm in my 40s. I still got stickers on the water bottle. But just do better. All right, let's move along to some common sense. So the Stanley Cup madness. Like I said, I've been a big hockey fan the majority of my life, pretty much all my life. So the Stanley Cup is a very different thing to me. But the Stanley Cup madness, this was running rampant the past few weeks. And I from what I gather, part of it was spawned from the fact that Target put out a special Valentine's edition of the Stanley Cup in the beginning of January, because that's what retailers do. The Valentine's Day stuff is probably already gone at all the retailers. moving on to St. Paddy's Day and Easter next. But it's so strange to me how these things happen. People were lining up at 4 a.m. outside Target and then sprinting and grabbing as many Stanley cups as they could. In fact, I've been seeing videos lately of kids getting Stanley cups for Christmas, and it's like the greatest Christmas gift they've ever gotten. And on top of that, I believe if you go on some of the resale sites like eBay or whatever, they're selling some of these like limited colors or whatever for hundreds of dollars. For what is it, Wall fans? A fucking cup. Okay. And it's always amazing to me when you look at certain things, like how these crazes kind of happen, you know, and I'm sure I've been guilty of things at times, you know. I was alive in the 90s. I was a teenager in the late 90s when everybody had to have Beanie Babies. In fact, I've still got a couple of Beanie Babies in the garage. Now, I didn't go crazy buying them. I had relatives that did, for the love of God. When McDonald's did the Happy Meal thing, Jesus Christ, we had to, you know, we're getting the mini ones for, like, people on our relatives on the other side of the country and blah, blah, blah. So I've been through there. But it's so strange to me that people freak out about random things. And it's also interesting how things kind of come around. In fact, I was talking about this with somebody recently. I can't remember who, but and that's what it was. I have I recently got a new hoodie from Ignite, and they have a play on the Thrasher logo. And we were talking about Thrasher. And see, when I was younger, the Thrasher sweatshirts and T-shirts was something they gave you free when you bought a subscription to Thrasher. It was just, it wasn't a status symbol. It was like free. Now, it costs you like $60 for a damn Thrasher T-shirt. The stuff we used to get for free as a kid. The other one is Champion. Champion somehow became... And there's nothing wrong. Like, if that's what you're into, that's fine. It's just funny to me how it all kind of comes back around. And Champion, when I was younger, the people that had Champion were the ones that couldn't afford Nike and Reebok. And now some of this Champion stuff, I see it in the stores, and I'm like, holy shit, why is this so expensive? That's really wild. But society latches on to certain things and becomes obsessed with them. You know, I mean, I guess you could say I'm obsessed with Vans, but I'm not trying to stand in line at 4 a.m. to pick up a pair of Vans. I will say thank God for the internet, because I will wake my ass up early in the morning and make sure I order some Vans. But I'm not elbowing people. I'm not running through stores trying to get Vans. It's just so strange to me. It really is. And if you're someone that enjoys the Stanley Cup, fine. Have your fucking cup. It holds liquid. You know, lots of things hold liquid. You can find other things. All right, the Patriot Front. Oh, those guys. Those sons of bitches. They decided to go and march in New York City over the weekend, wearing their stupid khakis and covering their stupid faces with those stupid white masks. Oh, my God. Someone let my dog out, and he's about to eat somebody that's walking by the house. My dog's got the most ridiculous Napoleon complex. He's not like the tiny, tiny, tiny dog, but... he will go at a German Shepherd. And then as soon as that dog, the big dog, barks back, then he's like, oh, shoot, my bad. But he's out there barking. I'm never going to feel... speaking of barking, when we originally started this podcast, I was always worried about helicopters and dogs barking and stuff, and then started listening to Kevin Smith, where there was a time where he was constantly yelling at his dog for barking in the middle of a podcast episode. Anyway, the Patriot Front in New York, with their stupid khakis and their stupid white masks and their stupid shirts and their stupid hats that they wear and everything else, they're doing a march through New York, and it's so ridiculous to me, because there's literally video of like one of their leaders talking about how brown and black people and people of color are taking over the world, and that's unacceptable, and that people want communities full of and this was almost a direct quote, want communities full of black and brown people, and then blaming Jewish people for all kinds of other things. It's astounding to me, because that is a place we have clearly regressed. You know, I was talking about how far we've come as far when it comes to mental health awareness and all that kind of stuff. This is a place we have regressed, because I think back to me as a kid. This would have never happened. You know, and granted, I understand these people, probably there's people that held those views and that existed at that time, but they weren't so open with it. But we live in a world now where people feel empowered to go out and talk like this. And we're talking about literally speaking bad about people strictly for their ethnicity, their religion, or whatever else it might be. So watch out for this, because they're going to be everywhere. And it's just hating to hate. Hating to hate. There's never any reason whatsoever to hate someone solely based on the color of their skin or certain beliefs. Well, now, certain beliefs. I hate the Patriot Front because their beliefs are just full of hate. But to come up with ridiculous conspiracies and everything else that the Jews are running the world, and it's utterly ridiculous to me. And common sense says we got to speak out about that stuff. We can't let this continue to grow and to build when clearly there's no reason for anyone to think like that. All right, Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of stupid assholes. Aaron Rodgers recently was on the Pat McAfee show, speaking of other stupid assholes. And this was right before the Epstein list was released. And he went on there claiming that Jimmy Kimmel, the late night talk show host, comedian, actor, everything else, whatever else he does, was going to be on the Epstein list. This is clearly slander. You cannot do that. You know, free speech, yes, everything else, that is slander on a multi-billion dollar network that is ESPN. Claimed that Kimmel was going to be on that list. McAfee just laughed, sat there. This is Pat McAfee, the host of one of the biggest sports talk shows really in the country right now. Not for me. I don't listen to it all. It's ridiculous to me that ESPN gave him millions of dollars to go on and spew false information and hate and everything else and constantly bring in this asshole who's taking digs at Travis Kelce and all kinds of other people, giving him a platform. And then it did hit a point where Pat McAfee said, oh, we're done having Aaron Rodgers on the show, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then like 2 days later, Aaron Rodgers is back on the show. It's utterly ridiculous. Pat McAfee is definitely the new Joe Rogan, except that Joe Rogan has a huge platform too, with Spotify, but Spotify is not on cable television. And the other thing is, for those of you not aware, Jimmy Kimmel's late night talk show is on ABC. Pat McAfee, like I said, is on ESPN. They are both owned by the Walt Disney Company, and Disney has done nothing. And why is that? Because money is the bottom line for Disney. So they're going to let personalities slander other personalities that are employees of their company. But because there's money coming in, they're not going to do anything about it. As far as I'm concerned, like I said, he is just a new Joe Rogan. And he's obnoxious, hateful, and just not entertaining in the very least. But people love him. All right, and before we move on to entertainment news, time to brace for political ads. I'm sure you are seeing them already. The political ads are on television right now. I've already had people coming to my door, you know, who are you voting for, blah, 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 blah. So brace for all of that, and then for the love of God, those gigantic flyers that are going to be sent out and put in my fucking mailbox over the next 6 months to a year is just going to be utterly ridiculous. We've talked about this before, and I was talking to a friend about it recently because it was like, oh, yeah, the political ads. It used to be they'd send, like, little flyers that were made of paper. Now they're using, like, poster board, and the things are, like, 11 by 14. I'm like, this thing doesn't even fit in my mailbox. The mail carrier's got to fold the damn thing to put it in here. Why are you sending me this? And I'll be honest, I don't even look at them. When the people come to the door, like, who are you voting for? Can I count on your vote? I'm like, I don't know. I do my own research. You're not going to stand here and convince me. Your stupid flyer's not going to convince me. What's going to convince me is doing a little research and seeing what that particular candidate believes in, what that particular proposition is going for. So brace yourselves, Wall fans, because elections are coming. All right, let's breeze through some entertainment news and call it an episode for the first one of 2024. All right, we got to pour one out for the fantastic show that officially came to an end at the end of December, and that is Letterkenny. I wouldn't say I got emotional, but it was funny because it came out on Christmas, and I was like, no, not yet. And I just finished it like a week ago because it's only six episodes, for those of you not familiar. If you have not seen Letterkenny, I highly recommend checking it out. It's on Hulu. There's like 12 it's like 12 seasons, but they're like six episodes. But definitely check it out, and we have reached the end of it. They did a fantastic job. Jared Kiso did a great job with the last season. And like I said, I wouldn't say I got emotional, but I was like, oh, man. Like, and my wife doesn't watch it, but I said to her, I'm like, I'm done with Letterkenny. There's no more Letterkennys happening. So pour one out for Letterkenny. Another, if you haven't heard of this, another recommendation that I thoroughly enjoyed There's a show called The Brother's Son. It's a Netflix original. It is a comedy, but I will say it's one of those comedies that has a lot of violence in it. In fact, my wife came into the room when I was watching it like last week, and it's because it's Michelle Yeoh, and she's like, "Is that Michelle Yeoh?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh, what is this?" And I was like, "It's The Brother's Son." But honestly, she likes comedy. She's not super into the violence, and you know, we're not talking gore violence, but it's about oh, I'm blanking on what it's called, the Chinese mafia. There's a name for it. Not Yakuza, that's Japanese, but it's, you know, so it's criminals, you know, so there's fighting and shooting and all that kind of stuff, but it is raucously funny. Like I said, when I was talking about Kevin Smith, I love character development and dialogue, and this has that in spades. So if you have Netflix and you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out The Brother's Son. All right, we got a couple show recaps I want to get into here. A couple weeks ago, the Venomous Pinks were in town. They had a little mini tour. They were hitting partly the West Coast and some other cities around here. San Diego they were in. I had the privilege of seeing them twice. They actually played in Pasadena at this tiny bar that I'd never been to, but apparently has some shows. Small little dive bar, but fun, really fun little punk venue. Nice little outdoor area to hang out and everything else. And of course, the ladies killed it that night. This seems to be happening to me lately. I go to these small shows where I'm like, well, clearly there's not going to be a circle pit. And then suddenly a circle pit opens up behind me. So I definitely got thrown into the stage at one point. Which I look up and I see Drea, from the Venomous Pinks just kind of laughing at me. And then I look over and Remington, who is teching for them now, I see her just like, oh shit, don't knock over. But, you know, pretty light on my feet. So nothing went down, but it was, outside of that, it was a fantastic show, fun little venue there in Pasadena. And then got to see them the following Sunday, for a matinee show. When you get to my age, you love a matinee show, that starts at like 3 o'clock. Cause then, especially on a Sunday, then you're home by like 8 o'clock and you're just like, wow, I can relax a little. And I'm not out crazy late before a Monday and everything else. And that was a lot of fun. And in fact, that's the one I look back on. I would also recommend checking out Love Equals Death. The privilege of seeing them for the first time. And the lead singer, whose name is Sean, he spells it differently, but his name is Sean, got to talk with him for a little while. One of the nicest guys. And of course, the ladies in the Pinks, they killed it at Alex's as well. I had a blast. Of course, I'm biased because I absolutely love their music. I am actually wearing a Venomous Pink sweatshirt for the episode tonight, for those of you not watching on the video. And like I said, my good friend Remington is teching for them now, so it was good to hang out with her among some other friends that were there to see the Pinks and Love Equals Death. And I cannot stress enough how much they're killing it lately. Not a new album anymore because it's been over a year, but their latest album is an absolute banger. And I swear every time, and they've always been great when I see them live, but I swear every single time they just get better and better and better. And they were already fantastic to begin with. So I'm eager to see kind of where they go from here, and the great, you know, tours and shows that they're going to get added to over the next few years. All right. I also had the privilege of going to see one of my top three bands, along with another band that I also very much enjoy. That would be Less Than Jake, playing a one-off show with MXPX. This happened at the Hollywood Palladium a couple weeks ago. Actually, that was sandwiched between the two Venomous Pink shows. It was a fun and wild crowd, I will say. I had some friends that were in town for the show. Lots of friends were there because it was a sold-out show in Hollywood. I don't love going to Hollywood for shows, but I will go for certain things, and this was one of them. I had an absolute blast. I did get in the pit for a few songs during Less Than Jake, and in fact, I pulled a hold of my beer with my buddy John, because we're standing toward the back watching, and Less Than Jake's on like their second song, and I said, you know what? I'm going to keep myself young. I said, hold my beer, and I ran in, did like three songs in the pit, and then promptly got out of there because it was a little wild. And I did get to see Roger, the bassist from Less Than Jake, again. We had kind of a funny interaction. He was hanging out at the merch table, and I went over to get one of their new enamel pins, and I've met him a few times. I'm walking up, and I was like, oh, hey, Roger, and he gives me one of those looks like, I know you, you know, and you know, credit to him, he sees tons of people. They're touring constantly. And I was like, oh, no, Sean, Punk Rock Saves Lives. And I had the merch guy that I also know taking pictures of my phone, and he actually catches the moment where I'm like, oh, you can see it in a photo. And he's like, oh, there's a photo of Roger being like, oh, and, you know, so we talked for a few minutes, and then I let him go about his business and then went back to enjoying MXPX. But, man, that was a fun show. And speaking of fun shows, just this past Saturday, You know I love a band when I will drive a good distance to see them. The Drowns. We're doing a little mini West Coast Vegas like swing of shows here. Unfortunately, the closest show they had to Los Angeles was in Ventura. It's about an hour and change away from where I live. But because I love the Drowns so much, we had my sis and I headed up there on Saturday night to check them out. And they put on a fantastic show. This was another small venue, kind of like the one, similar to the one the Pinks played in for that Thursday show I mentioned. And this was also another situation. And first of all, I was like, I think this is the smallest stage I've ever seen the Drowns play on. And I've seen them in small venues, but this was a very small stage. And I love all those guys. I know them personally. I know the merch guy and some other friends that had showed up because they're big friends, good friends with the Drowns and big fans and everything else. But this was another situation where suddenly a pit broke out behind me. And another different friend, John, who's also a sound guy, tour manager guy, I look over and I realize because this is such a small venue that they have some of their gear like on the ground in front of the stage. So suddenly I'm standing there and I'm like, I look over at him and I'm like, all right, well, let's just, you know, and not being like, you know, jerks or anything, but like, all right, let's keep the pit over there. So I'm constantly trying to, and then sure enough, there's like two or three guys that are much bigger than me. And I'm not a small guy, but I'm talking like pushing 300-pound guys and they're flying around the pit. I mean, there was one point I saw my life flash before my eyes where this giant of a man comes just flying at me from the pit and clearly had a few drinks. And fortunately, I survived that one. But it was a lot of fun. I've always talked about the Drowns. There's a sticker on the wall. And for those of you not aware, they do have a new album coming out in less than 2 weeks. Their new album, Blacked Out, is going to be coming out in less than 2 weeks. In fact, we'll probably do an album review of that. We got some album reviews that are in the hopper. This is going to be a crazy year for albums. I've already had like three bands that I follow release albums, and we're only like 3 weeks into the year. And there's just many more coming down the pipe from bands that I talk about, bands that I've done recaps on, photos and album reviews. So make sure you got your finger on the pulse of the scene and the new stuff that's coming out, and we'll be talking about it as the year goes on with each episode. Especially with this being the new year that is 2024, we have officially broken the seal on the episodes for 2024. And on that note, we are going to wrap things up. We will be back next. I know it's Monday when this is coming out. It's Common Sense Sunday. We do that sometimes. We should be in the studio next Sunday. If not, it will be Monday, but we're going to be back on schedule now. I have double checked the calendar, and we're free for new episodes over the next couple of weeks. So look forward to that. And in the meantime, don't forget to follow us on all the socials, facebook.com/gotellittothewall, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or at gotellittothewall right there on YouTube. My own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, and make sure you have bookmarked SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That, like I said, that's your one-stop shop for anything and everything pertaining to everything we do here in the studio, as well as links to our Patreon campaign and our merch website if you want to support us financially. Every dollar helps, and every dollar is greatly appreciated. All right. On that note, like I said, we will be back next week. Same wall place, same wall time. And until then, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you're going, especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.